Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You all were watching the news that happened last week when the United Nations yet again had another vote against Israel, against Jerusalem, recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. But not only that, they were also against the United States of America for recognizing the state, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And it was despicable. People are talking about it who are pro-Israel and who know the honest truth and know history and know facts and are not anti-Semites, anti-Jews. But yet, I'm going to be having a guest on the show today who says that the UN vote that took place last week was actually a positive improvement. What? How's that? Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem is going to be joining us to talk about that. We're also going to be speaking with someone down in Australia who's going to be telling us about the car ramming attack that took place last week, injuring 18 or 19 people, some of them critically injured, and the police still have not labeled it a terror attack. The man who drove the car, the police said, it was deliberate. His name, Saeed Nouri, a refugee from Afghanistan. But it wasn't terror? I'm still scratching my head at that one. And Shifra Hoffman will be joining us as well. So you can call into the show if you're listening live. That means if it's between 4 to 5 p.m. holy time right here in the land of Israel, or if it's between 9 to 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time, that means we are live and you can call in with your comments and questions. I want to say hi to people who are listening in from all over the world. Let's take a look here from all over the United States, Israel, Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, the land down under, Belgium, France, and even Ruski, Russia. Shalom to Russia. Listening in, people from Russia listening in here to Israel News Talk Radio. We don't know who you are. I'm not the KGB. I don't have that information, but we can see your flags from where you're listening from, and it's wonderful to see you all listening in from all over the world. Remember, live show, and join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on our player or on our website, and our numbers are on our homepage. We'll be right back.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Norris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
So we are going to look at a story that happened last week in Melbourne, Australia. Last Thursday, a driver plowed his vehicle into pedestrians on a busy street in Melbourne. The driver was charged with at least 18 counts of attempted murder. The driver of the car was a former Afghan refugee, 32-year-old Saeed Nouri. We'll find out more about this from our guest, David Adler, who will be joining us from Australia. And he's also going to be talking about the recent UN vote that was against recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Now, David Adler is the president of the Australian Jewish Association at jewishassociation.org.au. We will link on our webpage where the show is podcasted to that link there. And it's a not-for-profit community organization. So, David Adler, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
All right. So let's first open with the car ramming attack that took place last week in Melbourne, Australia, by a former Afghan refugee. Tell our listeners exactly what happened.
Well, as everyone knows, it's getting close to a peak shopping period. So this was right in one of the main roads of Melbourne, where there were large crowds doing their pre-Christmas shopping. And a young man by the name of Saeed Nouri had borrowed a vehicle, a SUV, a large white Suzuki SUV, and drove the vehicle deliberately into pedestrians, injuring 18, as you said, some seriously. Fortunately, so far, none have succumbed, none have died, but it included a young toddler and families and people just going about their everyday business. Now, you alluded in your introduction to the most peculiar aspect of this. Mm-hmm. Despite being an ex-Afghani, a Muslim, almost immediately the authorities were saying this was not a terrorist event. And the reason they were saying this is because he has some history of mental health problems and drug use. Now, many of us across the Australian community, just not just the Jewish community, find this sort of reaction by the authorities to be quite peculiar. There are, in any large city, many thousands of people who have mental health problems, and unfortunately many thousands of drug users as well. They're not driving their cars into pedestrians. They don't Right. express their mental health disorders in this way. So it seems that the overtly excessive political correctness that we see across Europe in dealing with these issues has unfortunately permeated Australia as well.
Right. And I just want to say here that whenever these police come out and say immediately that it wasn't a terror attack, my question always is, how do you know so quickly? What research have you done? Have they done any investigation to know that it's not a terror attack? So just to come out and say immediately it wasn't a terror attack is already suspicious for me. And second of all, again, the MO, the modus operandi of these attacks are almost always the same. And it's very sad to see. And in fact, I was watching videos of the news where the police repeated twice in the same sentence that this was a deliberate attack. So, you know, just because someone it may not be mentally stable doesn't mean he's not a member of a terror organization or he has not wanted to do this because of a terror attack. So I'm very sad, and I would imagine our listeners are as well, to see that the Australian security forces and the government are not are trying to be politically correct. And I understand that they probably don't want to make things worse. They're thinking it might make people angry. There might be reverse attacks, you know, revenge attacks. It might stir up a lot of trouble in the government. So they're just calling it criminal. But we will leave it at that. I think everybody knows everybody has a good idea what probably it was. Now, let me get to the UN vote that took place last week. You wrote in one of the things that the Jewish Association sent out regarding the UN vote that the majority voted they don't accept that Jerusalem is Israel's capital. You write that the UN has again proven itself to be, quote, a house of darkness and lies. Explain.
Uh-huh. Well, I would doubt that needs much explanation to your audience, Tamar. Jerusalem, of course, has been the capital of the Jewish people, and of whenever that there was a Jewish state in the land of Eretz Yisrael, since King David established the capital over 3,000 years ago. It has never, ever been the capital of an Arab or Muslim entity. So there was some tension in the discussion amongst some of the countries that abstained, and particularly Australia, as to whether the proper thing to do was to have voted with Israel and the United States rather than just sit on the fence and make an abstention. And certainly we took the view that Australia should have been more principled, that sitting on the fence was not the correct thing to do. And we're not alone. There were a large number of the Christian community who took the same view in Australia, and many of the conservative commentators, that sometimes, I mean, Australia has traditionally been a very good friend of Israel and a very good friend of the US, and certainly we don't see that changing at all. But when a friend is being unreasonably attacked, being lambasted by the sort of anti-Israel conspiracy that we see expressed in the UN many, many times, is the proper thing to do to abstain, or is the proper thing to stand up and shoulder to shoulder with Israel and the US and cast a vote accordingly? So we argued very strongly that the Australian vote was not the one that many people wanted to see cast. We wanted to see the vote actually oppose the resolution, not just be neutral about it.
Now, you write also in this article that you sent out, why did Australia do this? Minister of Foreign Affairs, Honorable Julie Bishop, certainly has some explaining to do. What do you think her answer would be?
Well, I'm told that there are factors we don't know about. Now, what these are a complete mystery. And I think that the Jewish community in Australia, and indeed those who support Israel across the country, deserve an explanation. We can only speculate because nothing has officially been said, but perhaps Australia sees it important as in the UN not to upset the majority that we know we're going to vote against Israel, vote against the US. There are other working relationships that exist. So like our previous item, we have a tension here, a classic tension between what is principled and what is politically correct. It might be more expedient, easier not to stand up on matters of principle, but it's not necessarily the proper thing to do.
You'd kind of like to raise the bar for how the government acts, especially on its moral issues.
Without a doubt. And something as clear-cut as this, where you're only confirming the obvious. Jerusalem is the seat of government for Israel. We all know the Knesset there, the official prime minister's residence, the Supreme Court, all the arms of government are there. Visiting dignitaries from overseas go to Jerusalem, etc. The announcement actually makes that President Trump made makes no difference on the ground at all. It doesn't change anything. We struggle to see any reason not to have stood shoulder to shoulder with Israel and the US and opposed the ridiculous resolutions that have been presented in the UN.
Right. Well, I commend you on your trying to raise the bar. I can only say what I've learned, and that is that countries don't have friends. They only have interests. And when they're saying, well, we know things that you don't know, it's probably they know about all the deals that they have going with Arab countries, and they don't want to excite them or anger them. And they've got deals here going, and they have oil interests here, et cetera. So that's the facts. But we'll hope that they can rise to that bar, raise that bar as you want to see. We hope that they will be able to get there one day soon. David Adler, again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You can go to visit their website, jewishassociation.org.au for Australia. It's a not-for-profit community organization. They have lofty goals there. I went to their website and checked it out. Very interesting. I urge you to go there as well. David Adler, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Tamar. And let me just add, we have a very active Facebook page by the same name, by the name Australian Jewish Association, and that's where most of our news and views are published.
All right. Australian Jewish Association. You can go there and like the page. Thank you for coming on the show, David. You stay safe down there.
Much appreciated. Okay. Thanks for your good work, Tamar.
All right. When we get back, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem on the UN vote. He says it's actually a positive thing. How can that be? We're going to find out when we get back.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Most people would agree that the United Nations vote last week against Jerusalem being the capital of Israel was disgraceful. But our next guest says it's actually good news. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored close to 60 books and 400 research papers. He is probably most known in the non-academic field for authoring the book Muslim Winter, as opposed to the Arab Spring. He served in Israel's War of Attrition and spent much time in Gaza, serving directly with, at that time, General Arik Sharon. He comments on Middle East and world issues, and he's here today on the show. Welcome to the program, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you.
Good to have you on. All right, so we saw the vote that happened last week. Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., said that she was going to take names of countries that didn't support the United States in their declaration and recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital and their intention to move the embassy. She said not to ask for money anymore, basically saying that they're chutzpahdik, they have chutzpah, to ask the United States for money when they are voting directly against the United States. And again, they overwhelmingly said that Jerusalem, they do not recognize it as Israel's capital. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, like anything, it depends on how you look at the numbers. Numbers can, you know, it was Mark Twain who said, you know, there's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics. You can write up the numbers any way you want, but let's take the numbers on a very basic level. You have 193 members of the United Nations. Of that, 57 members are the largest voting bloc in the United Nations, the Organization of Islamic Countries. So put them on the side for a moment. What you have left are 71 that voted against us and 65 that did not. That's not a big difference. And that's not only is it not a big difference, it's the best result we've had since June 1967 in any General Assembly meeting.
So you're saying that when you look at the numbers and you look at the positive aspect, that 75 against this recognition of Jerusalem and 69 abstaining and or not showing up is actually an improvement.
71 and 65.
Oh, sorry, 71 and 65.
Right.
And you're saying that's an improvement.
That's an improvement because only a few months ago there was a vote on a different matter and there was 151 against us. So it was 100 against us, right? And now it was a 71 against us. I'd say the difference between 100 and 71 is an enormous improvement.
Okay, I'm looking for something here to read to you. I want to do a show on this week if I can, and I just want to get your comment on it. In the Tanakh, the Bible, it says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 3, on that day when all the nations of the earth are, basically, they're saying that it will come about on that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Now, this kind of sounds like what we're seeing taking place in the United Nations, isn't it?
Well, I've always claimed that the 12, the what we call the 12 small prophet books read like a newspaper from yesterday. I mean, if you really read them, that everything that they said is what's happening today, day by day. So I agree with you completely. Yes, absolutely.
So we're actually seeing this prophecy actualizing itself in our time. I mean, that's what it seems to me when I look at these, at the whole world coming against Israel and coming against Jerusalem as being our capital, not wanting to recognize it. And yet, when all this is happening, we can look in a more positive way, you're saying. So let's talk about these nations that either didn't show up for the vote because they didn't want to vote, it wasn't in their interest, and or the states that abstained, the countries that abstained. What do you have to say about them?
Well, let's start with Europe. I mean, we know that the Europeans are not exactly our greatest friends in the world, never have been. But nonetheless, Hungary, Poland, Romania, Czechia, Latvia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and Croatia all abstained.
Okay.
That's impressive. That's not a trivial thing. And Romania is now saying that they want to move their embassy to Jerusalem. And so Czechia has already said that.
Do you think they will, or do you think they're going to wait until the United States does it first?
Well, that's a good question.
If they do it.
Look, first of all, the United States could move their embassy in 5 minutes. It doesn't have to take. They don't need to build a new building. All they need to do is
change the sign. They own a building
in Tel Aviv. They own a building in Jerusalem. Switch the signs.
Right, right. But we know that Trump's not going to do that. When Trump does something, he builds big and glorious and that everybody talks about it. But okay.
Yeah, but Trump also likes to surprise people. So
okay.
We don't know.
Okay, believe me. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. All right. So it's a positive thing. You're not worried about this. Do you think, I mean, how do you, if you were the prime minister of Israel or the foreign minister doing, having relations with these other countries that Israel's helping, like countries in Africa, and we've got friendly relations, as you said, we just spoke in the last segment about Australia, that also basically abstained and didn't vote against the United States. So how can we get these countries to be a little bit more bold and say, you know what, we're going to do something that's unheard of. We're going to take a stand. How would you do it?
No, that, remember, everything in the world is a process. So this is the first time countries like Rwanda, Uganda, Lesotho, Kenya, South Sudan abstained instead of voting against us. The first time they ever did that. So that's an enormous step forward. That's beautiful. And these are countries that Netanyahu just visited recently. Rwanda, the president was here just last month.
Right.
This is a country that sustained a horrible killing spree just a few years ago in which the United Nations did absolutely nothing. France did absolutely nothing. England did absolutely nothing. They're aware of that. One of the few true friends is Israel. Who is building there throughout all of these countries solar power stations for them to have electricity to at least start training their children to have a basic education? Only Israel.
And agriculture, we're helping them.
And of course, agriculture,
water,
help with water, help with water purification, and again, you know, more and more of these things. So these countries aren't stupid. A country like Kenya has an enormous history Okay, South Sudan is a new country, but Kenya has an enormous history. And these are educated people. These are people who are intelligent. They know what's going on. But they also have certain fears, and these fears need to be taken into account.
What it's fears? Not easy. Give us an example. What fears?
They still fear the Arabs. You have to remember that from the middle of the 16th century until the middle of the 19th century, they were under constant attack by the Arabs who were enslaving their people. The Arabs pulled out of Africa 150 million people to be sold as slaves. This is genetic memory. Do you think they forget that immediately? That's not trivial.
Okay, so then you're saying basically that the stronger they get, the more secure, the more that Israel helps them, they will start standing up?
I'm saying there's a process. The mm-hmm. process has begun, and it's a healthy process, but it needs to be given time. The fact that they abstained is an enormous
achievement.
Enormous achievement. It's not a trivial achievement. It's an enormous achievement. Can you imagine a country like Poland abstaining with their history against Jews? But it happened.
Well, there's a lot of investment in Poland by Israelis today.
Yes, that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Same thing with Romania. Same thing with Hungary.
But you know, it kind of sounds like almost like we have to buy our friendship, that unless we go in and help them and give them freebies and all of these things, give them technology, give them, prop them up, educate them, bring them bigger, that only then they're our friends?
Well, that's the way life works. Mm-hmm. Now, what did the Disraeli say about that? Benjamin Disraeli in the middle of the 19th century. He said that England needed its colonies because otherwise it wouldn't have markets for its products.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're obviously not doing anything horrible like they did. We actually are helping them. But there is a question here of one hand shakes the other.
Interesting. Well, and so what do you see for the future? Very quick.
I think we're going to see a continual improvement. It's going to take time. But if Haley really does what she did, she's already invited those 65 countries to a reception.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals, every single ambassador of those 65 countries has received an invitation to a reception that she's giving. She's one very smart lady.
Well, let's hope that things do look for the better, and that we'll be seeing more countries come to their senses and seeing that having Israel as a friend will be a positive thing for them, and standing up for Israel even more positive. I want to thank you for coming on the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's always interesting to hear your opinions. All right. When we get back from the break, we're going to be speaking with Shifra Hoffman. She's going to be talking about a few topics in the news, the continuous hate crimes against Jews worldwide, disgraceful attacks on our IDF soldiers by Arab women, and the baptism by Mormons on Holocaust victims. What's that about? When we get back, you'll hear all about it.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back here at Israel News Talk Radio, the Tamar Yonah Show, and we're speaking now with Shifra Hoffman for our Jewish activism segment. Shifra Hoffman is the founder of victimsofarabterror.org, and she's the director of shuva.net. Welcome to the show, Shifra Hoffman.
Tamar, Baruch Hashem that you have the show, because this is not false news. What we say here is true news, and everybody who has a brain in his head will acknowledge that this is what you have to listen to and follow what we say, because it's all truth.
You wanted to talk about something that happened in news. Now, I don't think this really hit the outside world, but here in Israel, it was going all over the social network, and that was a disgraceful attack on IDF soldiers by Arab women who were poking them, kicking them, slapping them, pushing them, and the soldiers just kept their arms down, didn't do anything, and became punching bags, as ordered, probably, by their IDF commanders. Don't hit back. It was a disgrace. Everybody was sharing it here. We were all upset. And afterwards, a few days later, we saw in the news that the IDF went in, looked for those women, and arrested them. Go ahead.
Well, at the very start, when they did that, the IDF, Israeli soldiers, God bless them, should have done what they had to do to see that they are not disgraced in such a manner, take them in right away, either to be tried or give them back what they were giving. You know, the Arabs are so courageous. They send their women and they have children as shields. The men don't come out. They figure the women, everybody's going to pity them. Oh, poor Arabs. You see, the women have to fight the soldiers. And it's a disgrace that they had to wait even one day. And I do understand why the soldiers didn't react after what they did to Elua Azaria, the soldier who killed a terrorist. They're afraid to act.
This is true, and I think it just gave a little bit of relief that finally the IDF did the right thing and made those arrests and took those Arab women in. You wanted to talk also about the baptism by Mormons on Holocaust victims. Talk about that.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't understand how any intelligent Jew, especially the prime minister or people in the Knesset, they're not below the IQ level, how they allow the Mormons to be in Israel. They already did this a couple of times. There's not enough of them that the Jews were murdered in the most horrible fashion. They have to baptize them to say that their church is the right church, and they didn't die as Jews, they died as Gentiles. Shame on you, Mormons. How dare you? You haven't got enough of your own people to baptize? Why do you go to the cemeteries, or even if you don't go, you just say the baptism over the dead bodies? It doesn't mean anything. They lived as Jews, and they died as Jews. And they, I hope, will be in the heavens, the highest heavens, with all the holy Jews.
Let me play devil's advocate just for a moment, because you know that I agree with you, but I just want to give another side here. What if I were to say, well, we believe that they need this in order to be saved, and we want to save them?
They didn't go to save them when they were in the Holocaust, did they? Did they send all their Mormon people there to fight the Nazis? Come on, it's all baloney. It's all baloney, because they want to show that their religion is the true religion. And God Almighty gave the Jewish people the Torah and said, I am your God, and I selected you, I chose you to be my people and to be a light unto the nations. So morons, well, maybe that's right, morons. Mormons, you better stop it before we have a whole maybe demonstration or a petition to get you out of Israel entirely, which I think should be done.
You wanted to make a mention as well about some of the news that was having for a worldwide against Jews, hate crimes against Jews. Talk to us about
well,
that.
Well, I think, and maybe someone up in Mongolia who doesn't know how to read or has no radio or television doesn't know, every single day in a different country there are hate crimes against Jews. And the Jews complain, and I say this again tomorrow ad infinitum, you know my phrase, If you choose to remain, then don't complain. Why do they have to sit there in England and in Italy and in America? Of course, in America, every day, swastika spearings, beatings, all kinds of atrocities. Don't tell us that that's happening. We know. Why don't you pick up and pack up and come home to Israel? What do you think the Almighty, dear God, who gave us the country, is thinking? Here for 2,000 years, Jews are praying and hoping to go home to Israel. And I gave them their request. I bestowed upon them the faith, the sacred state of Israel, because it is sacred. And no matter what they say about Jerusalem, I said this before also, President Trump, he recognized Israel. Nice, it's nice, but we don't need it. We know that God gave us this land, and Jews who sit in the diaspora and don't pick up and pack up, so don't don't say that there's anti-Semitism. There was always, and there will always be. God has given you the opportunity to join us here. And I think that you don't even realize what you're missing. It's so wonderful to be not on the battlefield, but just everyday life. The quality of life is much better here than anywhere. Of course, I would like to see more Jews become unified and not fight each other. They fight each other in the Knesset. They fight each other right and left. That's not what God wants, I believe. God did not put us on earth to destroy us, but to enjoy each other. So take the advice while you can, because I do believe that God, blessed be He, has His red lines. Maybe very soon you won't be able to get out of those countries that do these attacks, these anti-Semitic attacks. Come now while you can, with pride and dignity and thankfulness to the Almighty.
I'm going to play devil's advocate again with you, and let's role play and say that there are many Jews who might say, but you need Jews in the diaspora to stand up for Israel, to lobby, to raise money, etc. If I go move to Israel, you won't have the Jews there to do it. What would be your answer to them?
I would say that you need Israel more than we need you. There's nowhere written in the Torah that you have to have a ranch home and two Cadillacs and the finest university. Speaking of universities, I don't think there's any campus in America that hasn't been attacked by the left and by Muslims, and Jews are afraid to even go to learn there. No, no, we don't need you so badly as you need us. You should come here, build the land, and everything will be taken care of, Baruch Hashem. The early pioneers that came didn't find Nefesh B'Nefesh that helps them. They didn't find hotels. They found just desert.
Okay,
and with
you know
broken
what?
Bodies.
Shifra, I'm going to just interrupt you here because we have a caller. We have joining us Larry from the Occupied Territories of Kansas. Hi there, Larry. What's your comment or question here for Shifra Hoffman?
Well, I got to make this quick, and I got a confession to make.
Okay.
I got a few Mormons in my background, in my family, but
okay.
I'm not a Mormon.
Okay.
And I personally, I think their religion is kind of fraudulent. But having said that, let me tell you something, Shifra. Those Mormons in Utah, if you had a war in Israel right now, you could open a recruiting station. You would have so many Mormon volunteers, you wouldn't be able to feed them when they got there. So I'd lighten up on Mormons. And let me tell you, the way they go around and baptize people doesn't hurt you a bit. If your religion is secure and it's not like theirs is, you don't have a thing to worry about if they come around and baptize anybody. And they're
Larry,
good Americans, and they will back you up 100% if the time comes.
Okay.
Let me say something to you, Larry. I know you're a good caller. First of all, they have no right to do this because you're violating the dead people cannot protest. So we, the living, have
to protest. You have a constitutional right to do it, and they have an agreement with Israel. They can go back and forth.
How would they like it?
They're not forbidden to travel.
Excuse me. How would they like it if we Jews went to the cemetery or we had a cult that says we're going to, say, make the Jews convert, well, the dead ones? They will all be converted.
They wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. They wouldn't be threatened by that at all. They're secure in their religion.
I don't agree with you at all. And first of all, you say the Mormons would come to fight.
Well, you and I don't agree very often anyway.
Let me just say this. We went through seven wars. Who helped Israel to fight? God Almighty and the soldiers. There were no Normans.
And there were plenty of Mormons in World War II fighting for your rights and your lives.
I'm sorry. The Mormons fought after Jews in 1939 were taken the raid to the concentration camps.
You would get more support from Mormons in Utah than you would secular Jews in New York if you needed
that's
help right
true.
Now.
That's not true. I'm sorry, Larry. That's not true.
I reiterate
again, the Mormons have no right to do this. It's a disgrace. Why, don't you have enough people to convert? The Mormons don't have enough Gentiles that are...
Well, that's what Ancestry.com is. They baptize everybody they can get their hands on a name. They baptize them. I haven't felt any pain from it. Have you?
It's a psychological pain. It certainly is, and it's wrong. If you will search and sit down, you'll see that God Almighty...
Then get in touch with them and have a talk with them.
Now,
Larry?
If they want to speak with me, let them call in on the program.
Okay, Larry, I just want you to understand, I don't think that she's bashing Mormons. She's bashing people who are trying to convert Jews. whether they're dead or alive. But
well,
I
that's
really
why she
wish.
Flipped and used the word
but
moron.
Larry,
that's
I
why
wish
she
that
flipped and used the word moron.
Yeah, well, you know, talk radio does a lot of that stuff. But you're right. You have a point. I want to say, Larry, I wish you would have called a little bit earlier in because this was getting very exciting, and I like to have people say have their say. So next time you call a little bit earlier, okay?
I will. I'm still recovering from Dr. Francisco Gil White, whom I also don't agree with.
All right. You know what? I kind of don't agree with him on this point either. But again, I take the wait and see approach, and then I'll make up my mind. Larry, thank you for your call. Shifra, last word. We have about 10 seconds before we have to go.
I want to say hello to Nathan in Australia, in Melbourne. I was praying and hoping that he wasn't in that terrible terror attack. And God should watch over him and all the good Jews. And I want to say again, we don't need any conversions. We have to have good Jews becoming good Jews according to the Torah. And let the Mormons and all the other religions that think that they have to force their religion on us, let them do it to their people. That's it, please.
Thank you, Shifra Hoffman. Thank you all. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Agree, disagree, the lines are open. Write us. Thanks for being with us. Next up is Ari Fold for Bulletproof Live, so don't go anywhere.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.